When you were a little child, maybe your mom and dad or some adults around you, like teachers, might have asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And that's a great question for children. Maybe it's a hard one for little ones to understand. And sometimes children say, I want to be a policeman or maybe a soldier. You know, that was obviously on many people's hearts. A doctor, nurse, singer. When I was little, I would always listen to top 40 music. I don't know what that was, the attraction there. But it was easy to understand, and so I thought, well, maybe I can be a top 40 singer someday. We're thankful for God's redirection in life. But when my parents would ask me that question, I think the first response I ever gave them was, I want to be a dinosaur bone digger. That's what I want to do. I couldn't pronounce the word archaeologist, but I love dinosaurs. And I knew that T-Rex was out there somewhere. I wanted to be a dinosaur bone digger until I saw a film about archaeologists. They were out in the middle of what seemed to be a very deserted place, a lot of rocks and dirt around, and they had tools about this big, and they would chip away at rock real slowly, and they had paintbrushes about the same size, and they would dust off the rock that they were chipping. And I thought, I love dinosaurs, but I don't think I love dinosaurs that much. I'm going to do something else. But Jesus asked us that same question in different ways throughout the Gospels. When you grow up, what do you want to be? What do you really want to be in your heart? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? We know the functions we could do. We could probably do a number of different vocations, and they're all holy to God. But what do you want to? Now, when you grow up, what do you want to be inside your heart? Jesus asked that question in the Gospels in a lot of different ways. And basically, it comes down to this repeated invitation that he gives. He says, do you want to be a follower of mine? Or do you not want to be a follower of mine? And being Lord, he has the right to answer, to ask that direct question. And he wants a yes or no answer. He doesn't leave us to sit on the fence. Do you want to be a follower of mine, or do you not want to be a follower of mine? And in the Bible, in the New Testament, everybody who said, I really believe in Jesus and had a genuine belief, you know what they did? They eventually followed him. They followed through with where their heart was. And everybody who said, on the other hand, I believe in Jesus, but didn't have a genuine belief, really didn't have one in their heart, they ended up not following him. And so there were two paths set before people in terms of what they wanted to be and do in their life. Jesus asked people to stop and consider the cost and reward of following him or not following him. And they were big-time costs and big-time rewards. Jesus, for one time in Luke chapter 14, compared following him to building a big tower. He said, if you're going to be my disciples, it's like building a big tower. A big tower takes time. There's a lot of cost involved. There's a lot of perseverance. There's a lot of patience and stick-to-it kind of attitude. He said, that's what it's like to follow me. And if you put the brakes on, or if you say, yeah, I really don't want that, then you choose, I am not a follower of Christ. Back last year, I hurt my shoulder messing around with my children. And so I got it checked out. And I was told by the medical team, if you want to, we could help you, but what do you want to accomplish with your shoulder? I said, I want my shoulder, which is not able to do much, to do as much as my healthy shoulder. How do I get that accomplished? He said, just listen to what I say. Do this for 6 weeks. Come and see me 3 times a week. Do these exercises every day. It'll take time. It'll take your hard effort, but the reward will be a healthy shoulder. As much as you could have one at the age factor, you know. And so the cost was there, but the reward was definitely worth it. Definitely worth it. And Jesus describes his relationship with us in discipleship in that term of the cost and the reward. How about on his end of things? Well, that's important to consider, being he's the center of creation and life. What's it look like on his end of things, this following him part? He said, well, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when it finds one, very precious, priceless one of great value. He sells everything. He goes out and he gets that one priceless, precious pearl. I heard a story a while back of a pearl that was actually found in the deep ocean, around the Indian Ocean, that was 14 pounds, the biggest pearl that was ever found, and it was incredibly valuable. And you couldn't wear the thing; it was too much, and it was about the size of a football. But people valued that one priceless pearl, and eventually someone bought it at great cost to them. Jesus said, there's a merchant who sees the one priceless pearl. He gives everything he has to get that one. There's an example of a man who was an antique dealer. He went to an antique sale, and it was advertised, all the contents of this house will be sold, and the total estimated price was $200,000. And you could buy each item at a time, or you could buy the whole thing. And so he went just to browse and look. And in the house, he found a book of writings, and he opened the book. And in that book were original letters from Abraham Lincoln, signed by Lincoln and written by Lincoln. And he knew, as a person who was interested in antiques, that just those letters alone were worth between $10 and $20 million. And it was in that house, you know, contents, $200,000. So he's thinking, I don't even have the $200,000, let alone what's needed for those letters. So he goes home, sells his car, sells his house, you know, over as best he can over a month's time, and he sells everything he has in his house, cashes in his life insurance policy. You might say, well, that was really costly for him to do that. But what the reward that was valuable to him, that was a great and priceless thing, the Lincoln letters, because he valued them, his love was there. They had value. So he gave the cost, but the reward was so much better in his heart. And when we hear the story of the merchant who comes, and the merchant is the one seeking out. He's seeking. He finds one priceless pearl. And the Bible says he leaves everything he has. He sells everything to buy, to purchase. And when Christ was in heaven and he wanted us to meet him and follow him, he left. Can you imagine leaving heaven itself? That's where we want to go through the grace of God. But could you imagine leaving heaven to go and say, I'll give up all this to go after something that's very precious and valuable to me? Namely, your soul, your life, your heart. John Wesley put it this way, or Charles Wesley in his song, he said, Christ left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, bled for Adam's helpless race. That's us. We're the helpless race. And so we can respond to Christ because of his great rescue mission for us. And the pearl that the merchant wanted to purchase was your response, your heart toward Christ. Some Bible teachers even say the pearl was the church, because we're bought by Christ's shed blood. We don't buy our salvation. We don't buy a relationship with God to try to get him. He does the initiating towards us. And God doesn't love us because we're valuable. If you took those Abraham Lincoln letters and took them to the store and wanted a can of pop, they'd say, we can't even give you a pop for that. You know, but they were valuable because someone loved those letters. And you're valuable not by your own dignity, by yourself, but because Christ created you and loves you. So you can have a great value in him. And when Jesus calls us to follow him or asks us the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's in light of his grace and mercy, the cost that cost him, and the reward that he would like, which is the inheritance of God's people. That is, you're considered God's inheritance. He's excited about inheriting you more than the stuff in the world. He says, how would you respond to the love of Christ? A follower of Christ or not a follower of Christ? And you would think we would be attracted to Christ just by his character alone. You know, we all like to pick people in our life that we want to follow and emulate. Can you think of anybody higher than Christ Himself that you would want to say, I would like to give my life to one great leader, to one great cause? People have done that throughout history and been disappointed by the leader of the cause. They found it very human and corrupt. But you give your life to follow Christ. No one who's ever said, I want to follow Him has ever felt like, well, he sold me short. You know, I had these thoughts about who He was, and He wasn't as good. They find that He is better. He is wonderful. And Jesus said, well, how would you like to respond? What do you want to be? Do you want to follow me? He gives us some directions in our hearts. He says, first of all, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's pretty intimidating for us. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Let's look at the first one, to deny ourselves. When most of us got out of bed last Monday, we didn't say, okay, this week, how can I deny myself? That's one of my great goals. But that's Christ's great goal for us. And when you consider the alternative, you'll see the blessing of denying self. There was a youth curriculum out a number of years ago that I saw with a great title. I think someone turned it into a book. The title of the book was How to Be Your Own Selfish Pig. That was the title of the book. And when I saw that book, I thought, who's writing my autobiography before I can get to it? How to Be Your Own Selfish Pig. But the point of that curriculum was this. If we don't deny ourselves and follow Christ, what we end up being is this selfish, self-centered, self-driven person whose life is very unattractive and caves in on itself. We become self-absorbed and self-consumed and self-indulgent. And is that really the kind of person you want to be? Christ would let us know if we don't deny ourselves, we will head down that road. And there will be a cost and a reward to that instead of the cost and reward to following Jesus. To deny self is actually a call to blessing, a call to blessing. Many people who I had a chance to meet in life who have been very successful in business or sports and were able to accomplish much and were able to be blessed with wealth in many different ways. And you know what they do when they come to grips with life and they come to the grips with their own success? Many of them who are able to take a serious look at their own hearts bow their knee and hearts and say, in spite of all I've gained and all I've succeeded in, I want to follow Christ. I want to follow Christ. Because they've gained the whole world. But they realize there's not enough success in the whole world, not enough stuff in the whole world to fill my soul like God would. Like God would. And so to deny yourself is a great call that Jesus gives in life. And then he says, take up your cross. Take up your cross. Now, the cross is a place where people die. And our Savior died for us. But to take up your cross means we die to ourselves. Our selfish intent. The desire to run our own life at the expense of other people. Take up your cross. It means we die to our own hopes and dreams. In my life, one of the most painful times I've gone through, and it happens every year and a half or 2 years, is dying to certain dreams that I have for myself or for, certain vocational experiences. But when I trade in my hopes and dreams for God's hopes and dreams for me, I'm so glad to be able to take up that cross. Because God's hopes and dreams for us are much greater than our own hopes and dreams for ourselves. And this morning, if you're struggling with, what's my purpose in life? Jesus said, take up your cross. He'll give you a new life with Him, arising from spiritual death, as it were. A missionary who had to face the very real sense, if I go to a certain place, I might die physically. They came to the conclusion that for their life, it would be an upgrade if they would die physically. And that's true for us. An upgrade. Ask key people in your life. If you died to yourself, would that be an upgrade for you and your lifestyle? The people who love you and know you're around it would say, yeah. You would be even a bigger blessing than you are now because you said, I surrender my life to God. And I'll go in His direction. And then Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Deny myself. Take up my cross with Jesus' help. And follow Him. We can only follow Him with His help. And that's one step at a time. Someone said to follow Jesus means we'll act with His help. With the priorities of Christ. With the fruit of His, what His Spirit is like. We'll begin to talk like He would talk. We'll begin to work like He would work. Sense of purpose and responsibility. We will begin to drive our cars like Jesus would drive our cars. It's pretty practical. We'll begin to love the people around us like Christ loves the people around us. To follow Him. We do that by yielding to His Spirit. He gives us tools to follow Him. He gives us His Bible. That was one of the first ways I learned to follow Christ as a new Christian. Look in the Bible. 90% of what I read in the Bible, I didn't understand. So some of you may still be there. Sometimes I'm still there. 90% of what I read in the Bible, if I don't understand it, I try to take the 10% I do understand. And I say, Lord, help me follow You with that. That'll keep me busy for the next 100 years. If I just take what I do understand. And with God's help, put that into practice. When I was, my first Bible I got was written at a sixth grade reading level. It's called the Good News for Modern Man. And I kept that all the way through seminary when I was taking these master's degree courses and learning Hebrew and Greek. And I would compare those languages to what the Good News for Modern Man said. And you know what? It was the same message. I was very excited. And I come to discover, and maybe you're discovering too, we avoid sometimes the Bible, not because we don't understand it, but because we really don't want to follow God. But if we open that up and say, I want to follow what You have to say to me, speak to me, He will follow us. Or He will invite us to follow Him. Prayer is another way to follow God, to talk with Him. Of all the Christian opportunities in the world that falls flat, both in our lives personally and the life of a whole particular church, guess what falls flat first? Prayer will fall flat first. That's the same thing in the home. When communication breaks down, home life breaks down. Communication, prayer-wise, when that breaks down, God says, come and seek me. Prayer is a way to follow Christ. Church is a way to follow Christ because it's a team. It's a team effort to be a Christian. It's not just you and Christ. It's you, Christ, and all the people next to you. I was talking to a young person a couple weeks ago. It was very refreshing. We were talking about school activities they were involved in, extracurricular activities. And they said, well, these take place, school activities, also during church time. I said, oh, yeah? How do you feel about that? He said, well, this is what he said. I didn't pull it out of him. He said, well, church is much more important than school. I said, what? He said, church is much more important than school. He said, so when those extracurricular activities happen, and if I have to decide between church and school, it's going to be church. I don't know. I thought that was like a revelation from heaven. I wanted to get a big sign and take it to local high school and put it up. Church is more important than school. I don't know how that would go over. But Jesus said, follow me. Who do you want to be? Follow me. What a refreshment. And then to follow Him means to serve others. To love God by serving others. And think of what would happen to you this week if you had a week like this. Some of you had a week like this last week. But what if you had a week like this? Every time you tried to do something in life, throughout the day for yourself, someone came along and you had the opportunity to serve them. Someone had a flat tire, they had car trouble, or they needed a meal, or they were sick in the hospital, you went to see them, or you just helped your neighbor with his lawn or whatever it was. And the whole week, you didn't have an hour for yourself. I mean, you missed your favorite TV show, and you didn't have that half hour a night in your recliner or whatever you look forward to. And you just spent the whole week serving other people. What kind of heart do you think you would have at that point? Would you be frustrated? For one thing, you would sleep well. You would be thinking less of your own problems and difficulties. And you would probably say, well, this week was a great week because I got to have an opportunity to just be of help to other people. And God tells us in His Word, we serve God by serving others. That's a part of following Jesus. And the opportunity before us is the invitation that Jesus gives. Do you want to be a follower of mine? Yes or no? And if we say yes, we know that there'll be a cost, but the benefits far outweigh the cost. I've never met a person who said, I gave too much in following Christ. You know, you get that Sabbath rest for yourself and you have refreshment to restore your soul. But serving God is life's greatest invitation. Psalm 119:32 is a great motivation for us. It says, I run in the paths of your commands because you've set my heart free. So when we know Christ sets our heart free, we want to follow Him. Just one more story about a decision to follow Christ as a disciple, the love of Christ. It's about a dad and his year-and-a-half-old son. The little son climbs the stairs in the house even though he's not supposed to. And being a young little one, he can go up the stairs, but he can't come down. So he's always getting stuck in the middle of the stairs or going up, and dad has to go rescue him. And so one day, they put a gate up. He broke down the gate. The dad sees the son going up two or three stairs. He says, what are you doing? I said, that's out of bounds. Daddy, sorry. Help me get down. He says, no, you climb those stairs. How does that feel? Daddy, help me get down. The child's exasperated because he knows he's not only broken the law of his dad, but he's not hearing a lot of support from his dad. So the child in a panic jumps from that third step toward his dad. And what do you think the dad does? Boom. You know, he catches him. And the son is so grateful that he was again introduced to the love of his dad for him. And he really wanted, oh, now I know again how much my dad loves me. I want to stay away from those steps because he will love me all the time. And this morning, if you'd say, just in your heart of hearts, who you want to be, Lord, I want to be a follower of yours. Whether you jump into your dad's arms or you're spiritually exhausted and you just fall into our Lord's arms, He will catch you. And with His help, you could be a follower of His. One of the greatest calls that the church has at this time in the history, especially in our country, God invites people to follow Him. We have, if you survey people who are around us and say, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? They would say yes. Would get 80-90% of people say, yeah, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But would you be one who would have the genuine belief to follow Him with His help and say, Lord, make me be what you want me to be. I give my life to you. As God speaks to your heart, could you pray with me as the Lord gives that invitation to us because He loves us? Let's pray together. Lord, as I hear this call, it's a fresh call for me personally. It's a call that I often have been more excited about just getting to heaven as opposed to following you. But I know, Father, I've never met a, a person who was not following you, who was truly joyful in their gut, in the pit of who they were. And Lord, I know you've never asked us to do anything in the Bible that was hurtful for us. Instead, it was good. And you invite us today to follow you, be a follower of yours. And Lord, I know too, as a person, I've never asked anybody to follow me who I didn't love. So when your Holy Spirit speaks to each heart today and says, follow Christ, you are doing that because your love for us is tremendously intense. And it would be a life-changing love for any heart here today. I pray that you give that simple faith to say, I will be a follower of Christ. And I will, on a daily basis, deny myself. That will be a blessed deliverance. It will take up a cross and get new dreams from God. And then they would follow the one master worthy of being followed. Might your Holy Spirit convince every heart here and just give them a sense of being at peace with you in their decision. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.